Good morning. Almost every time when I come up here after the hymns, almost every time I find that I don't have to say anything anymore. Because what I'm going to say is redundant. Why? Because the hymn says it all. Maybe after my introduction, our time is up, so I don't have to say anything. Kevin talking about exams. Leah always say that I am a professional student. So, I know how it feels. I still remember some 30 years ago when those final comes, not midterm, I don't care about midterms. When those final comes, I look at the stacks of textbooks on my desk. I say, boy, tomorrow, 8 o'clock or 7:30 is the exam. Now it's 11. How can I finish all those books before I go to write the exam? Okay. Someone may be smiling because he doesn't need to study. But for me, I need it. Okay. At that time, still young, I have a really strong short-term memory, so I just cram down all the books in one night and then go write it, and then the moment I walk out the door, I forget everything. That's why I never be a really good student. I'm just a student who pass exams after exams. Does Jesus care? Yes, of course he cares. I am a living proof of he cares. Okay. While I was singing the songs and prepare for the sharing this morning, a picture in my mind always come up. It is while Peter was drowning in the water, and he raised up his hand. Oh, Jesus, save me. That is me. All the time, especially the night before exam, or while I am writing exam, when I look at the questions, I do not know what it is. Okay. The point is, does Jesus care? Okay. Originally, I'm not going to share what I'm going to share. Originally, almost a month ago, I thought God's leading it is First Peter. But too bad. After local conference, the moment I learned Brother Eric come up here to share about First Peter, I say, oh no. Oh no. What should I do? After he shared, what is left for me? So, a few weeks later, I am going to share something. In the second meeting, I had the topic, I had the outline already, and then while Brother Bo Shenshai came up, I know the topic. I said, oh no, he took my topic. Oh, so I just keep on struggle. What should I do? Should I keep on First Peter? I almost changed to 2 Peter, but God's leading still lead me back to 1 Peter. How about let's read one simple verse in 1 Peter. Oh, before we go there, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Starting with verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Can I have a soup real for us? Loudly.
On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filled. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And when they awoke him, and said to him, Teacher, Did you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Okay. And 1 Peter 5, 7. Can I have a Gigi read for us?
Having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you.
Okay. This morning I would like to share in this one short verse. Here it is. In this 5:7, it is casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In the first verses that we read in the book of Mark, we read about how Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to get into the ship, the boat, okay, because the same thing happened in three different places in the Bible, to sail across the Sea of Galilee, to travel to the other side, to continue on with his ministry. While the boat was sailing across the sea, all of a sudden there is a big storm, a fierce storm. We can imagine when the storm comes, we know how the sailors, the fishermen do. They will try all their best, their natural experience, ability, try to try to ride out the storms. But it seems like that is getting worse and worse. Even water comes into the boat. And finally, they cannot handle it anymore. All of a sudden, they found that Jesus is still sleeping at the back of the boat. That is strange. While I was reading this, every time I was so astonished that the disciples must be yelling, doing things, all the pots and pans in the bowl used to take out all the waters and the wind blowing everything. How can Jesus still sleep in deep sleep? But of course, in the last resort, they just come to Jesus. They say, "Do you care that we are perishing?" They woke him up and asked this question, "Do you care we are perishing?" Not saying that, "Help, help, help." Of course, in other two places, one place said, "Oh Lord, save us." But in here, in the book of Mark, the author used, "Do you know that we are perishing? Do you care?" And upon hearing their question and their pleading, Jesus woke up, stood up, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And right away the wind stops, the sea storm ceased from troubling, and there is great calm on the Sea of Galilee. We all know that, according to the reference, we all know that that is the characteristic of the Sea of Galilee. There can be a very severe storm out of nowhere, and it comes and goes. But in here, we see that I am not talking about why Jesus can fall into deep sleep. I'm not talking about his power to stop the wind and the rolling sea, the storm. I'm not talking about the small faith of the disciples. What I am trying to share this morning is that question that the disciples asked. Do you care? We are perishing. Do you care? Whether you know it or not, this is a question that a lot of people are asking. Maybe in the past, now, maybe even in the future. Does not Jesus care that we are perishing? People in today's times are asking this same question as the disciples asked in the past. People are going through a lot of dramas in today's lives. We have a lot of people who live in a mess of lives because making bad decisions, either by themselves or someone else close to them. There's a lot of families that have been wrecked because of domestic violence, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and a lot of children, young people, gone astray by being willfully disobedient to their parents. Not doing well in school, getting suspended for fighting, bullying, or in the news we see that even shooting, killing someone at school, even their own parents, we just read in the news. And of course, since last year, this the financial tsunami, we can see that so many people they lose their home because they cannot pay their mortgage. They lose their job. They cannot pay their bills. People are losing health. Out of the blue, one day you go to the doctor just because of small things. After some examination, you hit the bad news. Just like last week, I have a client, she is a sister, she came to me and then talked about her husband. Her husband go to see the doctor and the doctor said that he has some problem with his liver. She said his husband just right there. He said he looks like he is being sentenced to death right there. Out of nowhere. Maybe just 5 minutes ago you walk into the doctor's office, everything is fine. Five minutes later, when you walk out, looks like you are a person who is sentenced to death. We live in a society that has dog-eat-dog mentality, where we have people who will rob, steal, or even kill to get ahead. And because we are living in such a troubled time, somebody, or even including us, always ask this question. Does not Jesus care that we are perishing? Well, the answer to that question, well, at least to me, is very resounding. Yes. Because the verse we just read, it says, he cares. Once again, casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for us. This word care, in some translation, they translate into anxiety. Webster Dictionary defines anxiety as a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an anticipated or impending situation or a strong, fearful concern. I read through the definition a few times, I still do not know what he is talking. But I know the word anxiety. Okay. And also, I come up to a statistics about anxiety. They say, average people anxiety is about, quote unquote, 40% on things that will never happen. We have anxiety about that. And 30% on things that have happened in the past and cannot be changed. We have anxiety about that too. Add up 70%. And 12% on criticisms by others that are usually not true. Okay, really not true. Not subjectively think that it is not true. So that is 82%. And then 8% on real problems that we have to be faced. That is the true problem. So again, I go through the number a few times. I add them all up. Only 90%. So I scratch my head. Where is that 10%? So I think the only one can answer in this room is Sam Wong. Okay, so Sam maybe can tell us where is that 10% go later. But no matter what, the statistics said only 8% are real problem. But we have anxiety about it. But even though it is only a small percentage, only 8%, not even come up to 10%, for accounting purposes, we know that the 8% is really low sometimes. But that is the real problem when it happens. George Mueller, we all know this brother. This brother is very famous for his great faith. He started those orphanage. His life principle is he would never ask for help except from God. He went through all his financing help by God without talking to one single person all his life. He said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." It is two sides of a coin, but I really like it. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Worry is wasting today's time to try to solve the problem of yesterday by ignoring our opportunity today. Anxiety does nothing to benefit our lives, and in fact it is very detrimental to our lives. Anxiety steals our joy, our contentment with God, steals our confidence, and anxiety steals our ability to trust God. When things really happen, that 8% in our lives, when anxiety strikes, do we really, really trust God? Peter says to cast all of our anxiety on God. Literally, that means we are going to throw. Casting means to throw every care and every concern that we have to God. You can throw it all of them to God, because He is always ready to receive it. Somewhat like baseball. God cared enough about you to send Jesus to earth, die on the cross for our sins, and then raise Him up to a new life from the tomb to defeat death. If He cares that much, how can we think that our daily lives are without His care? God is worthy of our trust from the big area of our lives and down to the small area of our lives. God is able to take care of every single aspect. Do you really trust Him? Or just like me, okay, so many times small things, I just solve it myself. Okay, with the blinking of my eyes, the thing comes from the left, I solve it and go out to the right. Did I really, really hold on to the problem and say that God, that is yours, and throw it to Him? No matter what we are going through, no matter what the problem may be, no matter how bad the situation may look like, just know and be assured that Jesus cares about us. Not only does Jesus cares about us, but He cares enough to solve the problem for us. He cares to heal our health, to heal our broken relationships, to fix our money problems, to fix our job problems, to fix our school study problems. Yes, Jesus cares so much about us that He is willing to do whatever we need because He really cares about us. So many times, people may think, oh, my problem is hopeless. No one can help me. So we just decide to face the problem, or we just to cover up the problem and not to see anymore. No. Just turn around, look up to God, and give Him all the problem. The word casting carries the idea of trusting someone or something to handle what you were throwing at Him. And it is a blessing to know that we can trust God that He can handle for us. There is nothing in our life that God cannot handle. Once again, I would like to stress the word all, A-L-L. It means everything. Don't just say that, okay, this is the thing God can handle, this is the thing I can handle, this is the thing no one can handle. No. Don't just throw one, two, three, or some problem to God, but throw all of your problem to God. God is asking to cast everything to Him, that include all the present, future. We must stop trying to handle something or anything. We ought to give ourselves and everything that comes with ourselves to God. That means to let Him handle our problems, let God handle our concerns, let God handle our worries and anxieties, let God handle our fears and challenges, let God handle our failures and disappointment. So many times, humans on one side is very arrogant, but on the other side is very pitiful. Why? Because so many times when we face something, we draw up the conclusion sometimes, oh, that is my fault, so I have to face the consequences. No one can pull me out of this mud. So we keep on drowning in those, I call it guilt trip. We keep on going through it. Day in, day out, keep on going through it. Do something like Peter in the water. Just look up. Look at Jesus. I do believe at that time, at that moment, he must try to tread water. Or he is a fisherman. He must know how to swim. Tread water. But the wave is so high, maybe a 10 foot wave. Okay, I add it in. Okay. He is drowning in his heart. He is telling himself, I am drowning. I can't hold it anymore. One simple thing he did. He extend his hand, held it high up, and cry out to Jesus, save me. Help me. That is how Peter was being drawn out of water. That is how today we can be being drawn out from the mud, from all those guilt trips. In that verse, Peter says he cares for us. He cares for you. At the same time, I really like Peter. So many times when we read New Testament, we always being catched by one big figure, Paul. But lately, I really like Peter. He is a real character to me, because I know I can never be Paul. He is such a good student. He is the best among students. I always be a social and even bad students. Paul is really highly educated. Paul is the one who is very encouraged because he go to different places, go to place of unknown to preach the gospel. It seems like he is too big for me. But whenever I read about Peter, I feel like he is a human I can identify with. He fails all the time. He has a big mouth. He keeps on talking. But maybe 9 out of 10 times he is wrong, being rebuked by Jesus. That's me. That's us. So, when I read this verse, I recall Peter's biggest failure, but also at the same time, the biggest care that Jesus showed. It is in the court of the high priest. When he failed our Lord 3 times, right then, right there, when Jesus turned back and looked at him, he walked out and cried his heart out. Brothers and sisters, is that the thing that we may encounter a few times in the past? We think that we are hopeless. We think that we cannot go before our Lord anymore. We think that we are in the mud. No way I can come out again. But here, Peter, after he was revived by the Lord, in 1 Peter he said, he cares for you. That is how he was revived, because he know our Lord cares for me. He is interested in two things for us. He is interested in us, what we are going to do, where we are. In other words, we mean a lot to God. So people try to use some symbols to represent something, just like Toronto Dominion Bank, we call it TD Bank. Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank, we call it HSBC. So now, I would like to use the word cares to represent something. C-A-R-E-S. C, the first word is C. That is comfort. In the 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations. That means when we are going through troubles, anxieties, tribulations, there is one thing we can be assured of. He is our comforter. He comforts us. The only problem is us, not him. Are we willing to turn to him? He is always there for us. He is more than willing to comfort us. But are we willing to accept his comfort? That is the part we have to play. He is our comforter. And the second word is A, cares. The same word is A, C-A-R-E-S. So I would like to use it to represent A-I-D. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, and a present help in trouble. The psalmist say that he is our refuge, our strength. He is the place we can hide when attack comes. He is our strength that we can sustain in the time of tribulations. And he is our help in time of trouble. Again, are we willing to turn to him? Are we willing to go into him? Are we willing to accept his help? In Isaiah 41, it says, "Fear not, I am with thee, and I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Usually in the Bible, right hand means power, authority. In the book of Isaiah, once again, "Fear not, I am with you." If God is with us, why should I fear? Brothers and sisters, do we see that? Why should I fear? Why should you fear? God is with us. And once again he said, "I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of righteousness." Are we willing? And the third word is R. See, R, yes, R is restore. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is a very familiar one. "I shall not want. He made me lie down in the green pasture. He led me beside the waters. He restores my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." It's a very, very peaceful piece of psalm. He leads us according to his way. We are like sheep following the shepherd. We don't have to care. We don't have to look around where is the water, where is the grass, where can I rest. We only need to do one thing, is to follow him. And he will what? Lead me. I shall not want. I do not need anything. I will have no lack. And also in Matthew 11, well, also very familiar verse, "Come, you all labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And for I am meek and loyal, lowly in heart, and you shall find rest." Saying, we do not bear things that we cannot bear. Take up his yoke, because it is light. Sometimes we just think that we are too magnificent. I am Superman, Superwoman, Superlady. I can do things all the time. I can accomplish this, even though beyond our ability. So we face our downturns. We find that we are nothing. We cannot do anything. But in here it says, no, take up the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take up things beyond our ability. And the fourth word of cares is E. Eternity. God is love. He loves us with his eternal love. In Jeremiah 31, it says, "The Lord appeared of old and saying to me, I have loved you with an everlasting love." In John 3:16, I think all of us can recite it. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That is eternity. Jesus Christ come to this earth, take the form of a human being, and die on the cross for us. Brothers and sisters, not only to save us, that we can have eternal life, but also at the same time, to save us today. Today, from our tribulations, from our anxieties. He is asking for only one thing. Are we willing? Are we willing to commit ourselves 100% to Him? Let Him truly be our Lord, be our Master. Also in Romans chapter 5, we see that God demonstrates His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That is a very, very strong proof that He loves us, He cares for us, because He chose to die for us while we do not know Him. While we were yet sinners, we are His opponents. We try to say something, to do something, to discredit Him. Remember? Remember, brothers and sisters? I still remember while I was in university in Hong Kong. They have that one time they have a very famous speaker for a whole week gospel meeting. There is one girl sit next to me usually in the econ course. She invited me to those gospel meeting. Until now, after 30 some years, I still remember. After the speaker speak, he did the invitation, and that girl just walk up, stand next to me, extend out her hand, come, walk up. I just said, no. She said, no, come. No. We keep on fighting like this for almost 5 minutes. And then she just turned around and walked away dreadfully. I can still recall, that's me. I reject such a great salvation, which I accept with open arm a few years later. But whenever people talk about gospel, I remember her face, I remember her hand, I remember how she turned and walked away. Brothers and sisters, are we willing? Are we willing to commit ourselves 100% to Him? Not just, okay, I have eternal life, that's fine. Everything else, I can handle it, Lord. No. Anything, everything. Small things, big things. Students, school is number one. So, our school things. Young people who are, well, almost age, try to seek friendship, relationships. Our relationships. Don't fool ourselves. Don't think that we can handle it. No, we cannot handle it. Give it to God. So the fifth word is S. C-A-R-E-S. S is care. Supply. The last one, S, is supply. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply all our need, but remember, it is according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not all my need according to my desire, brothers and sisters. So many times I say, oh, I want a Porsche like Kenny's. Or I want a Peking duck. Okay. No, not my desire, according to His. So, we have to ask God, is this for me? Is this for me? And because Jesus is able to comfort us when we are troubled, Jesus is able to come to our aid when we need it, Jesus is able to restore our weary souls and give us rest, and He is our eternal love, and Jesus is able to supply our everyday need, or even every need. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need.
Once again, Peter said that he cares for us.
Caring for people is nothing new to God. He's been doing it from day one, from eternity past. He cared for people when he decided to create them. When we look at the history, he cares for Adam and Eve when they sin against him. Remember? He prepared the cross for them. He cared for Noah and his family when he destroyed the world by water. The ark. He cares for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, Daniel, and his three friends. He cares for Peter, James, and John as they struggle to understand Jesus and his mission. He cares for Paul and Peter. They took the message either to the Jews or to the Gentiles. He cares for all those millions of Christians in the past who uphold their faith. He cares for you and me today. There is no exception. He cares for you and me today. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will always take care of us. Sometimes, when the downturn comes, we will say that no one cares for me. Even I myself, I do not want to care for myself. But we know that he cares for us. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Lord Jesus is Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. So many times we use these words in the gospel meeting. So it leads us just to a useful conclusion that, oh, this is for the gospel friends. No. The book of Romans is the book to teach us to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We identify with his death on the cross, then we die. We identify with his resurrection, then we live. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this moment today, now, on earth, we can experience his life, his abundant life, his resurrected life, the life that is already in us, that we need only to identify with it, to reckon with it, and to express it with our faith. The word faith that I am referring to does not mean that anything attached to religion and setting. Religions are forms in an attempt to get God's attention and make him notice us. That is a waste of time, because there is no religion in the world that can force God to pay attention to us. That is the big difference between Christianity and other world religions. We all know Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with our Savior. Paul said, well, in his letter to Timothy, we all know this verse, I know that the one whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard, to upkeep what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Christianity is the good news that God has infinite wisdom and compassion. He already come in the form of a human being. And religion is about people seeking God. Christianity is about God seeking us and find us. In Psalm 23, it begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means that cares for all our, He, the God, God cares for all our circumstances. Since it is a relationship, that means that it's a two-way traffic. It is not only God cares for us, it is us also commit ourselves to Him. So I would like to give out a few attributes of what is care, God's care. God's care is encompassing. Remember, while Jesus gave out His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, He gave out something like this, because He says, if God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today, and will be thrown into fire tomorrow, will He not much more clothe you? So do not worry, saying that, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Our Heavenly Father knows our need. He knows our needs. There is no one of us will be excluded from His care. It would be deplorable if God knew our need, but He did not care. No, He cares. It would be tragic if God knew our needs, but He was unable to do it. But we all know that He is able. God cares, but we can assure that God will answer every one of our requests. Once again, the only problem is, are we asking? His care is unconditional, but it is invitational. That means what? God invites us to cast all our cares upon Him. It has to start that way. God will not just come up to you, say, this sister, this brother, can I help? Or just without saying anything, just grab our burden, our tribulation, say that I will take care of it and walk away. No. He wants us to cast. He wants us to start our action first. We have to initiate the process. Cast all our anxieties, our cares upon Him. And He is available. But it's up to us to rely on Him or not. Once again, God is ready. He is ready to bear our burden. But we must ask, brothers and sisters, is it that difficult to ask? That is why in the scripture it says, we have to come to God like a child. Okay? So many times after the meeting, I like to sit downstairs, look at those kids running around, and then I love them. Maybe I'm getting old again. I love them. I found out one common thing among the kids is, whenever you have something good, they will come up to you. Without knowing you, they'll ask you, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? Do we ever ask God, can I have it? We accept the eternal life from Him. We didn't do anything. That's free. How come? How come we dare not to ask more? Now, every day of our lives, we can ask, can I have it? Not because I'm greedy. It's because I can't handle it. So now I give you all my trouble. You give me all the blessing, all the cares. That is a fair exchange, right? Because you can handle it. So I give you all my troubles and you give me all your cares. That is even trade. To us, that is the best trade. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you tell us that you are the one who cares for us. You love us. You are the one who died on the cross and shed your blood to save us. So now, you always show us that you care for us in our everyday of our lives, in every circumstances. Lord, just revealed to us that the only thing we have to do is to cast all our troubles, all our anxieties, all our tribulations, things that we cannot handle to you, because you care for us. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.